Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome to our fall pledge drive.
Join the family.
Hey, it's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Good to be with you today. Let's get going. Got so much to talk about today. Let's kick it off with a memorare. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was ever left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you do we come. Before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, we're praying that memorare for a successful fall pledge drive this week. Hope that you can join the family, and also for an end to abortion in the United States and all around the world as well. And speaking of one family that's pretty happy today, that'd be the family of people that call themselves Atlanta Braves fans. So congratulations to the ATL. The Braves have won the World Series. Don't know if you caught that last night, for the first time in 26 years, defeating the Houston Astros in six games to take the title. And the star of, now, obviously, Jorge Soler, he's hit some Soler flares, some really long homers in this series. One went actually out of Minute Maid Park last night. Got the MVP, but really the most important player on the Braves is their first baseman, Freddie Freeman, who is, by all accounts, the nicest guy in baseball. Everybody loves this guy. He's got such a great story, really heartbreaking personal background story. But despite winning the World Series and really winning by having a great, beautiful family, he has failed in the moral sense. And here's the thing, he probably doesn't even know it. He probably has no idea. But it's something that everybody should be aware of. We're going to be talking about it right now. And let me just give you some background on this. And Buster Olney, writing for ESPN today, had a really great piece about what Freeman's been through over the past couple of years. And I don't know if you saw, a few months ago, there was an ESPN documentary as part of their E60 series, and it was narrated by Tom Rinaldi about the trials and travails of the Freeman family. Freddie Freeman was in really, he caught COVID a few months ago, and he had a temperature of well over 104 degrees Fahrenheit. It was really touch and go. He was in rough shape, survived that, was considering even not playing this season. I think he's glad that he did. They did win the series, obviously, last night. But I want to talk to you about, before we get into that, here's the call from Fox Sports last night from Joe Buck and former Atlanta Brave legend pitcher John Smoltz, as Freddie Freeman hit really the last run of the series, the decisive nail in the Astros' coffin, the seventh run in the game last night, home run. Here's the call from Fox.
1-1 pitch. Flies into left center field. Well hit back at the wall. It is gone. A home run for Freddie Freeman. How about that? In what might be his last at bat for the Atlanta Braves.
All right, so that was Joe Buck on the call. A little bit subdued on that call. The game was long decided at that point. It was 7-0. The outcome was all but secure, barring a miracle. And when Freddie Freeman, when he crossed home plate and when he won the game last night, he's known as Freddie the Hugger in Atlanta. He really cut loose, embraced his teammates, and he caught, of course, the winning out, kept the baseball stuffed in his back pocket. And when a well-wisher congratulated him on the championship, according to Buster Olney, his eyes just started to tear up, and he said, "Those are the greatest words you could ever say to me." And he's had a lot of tears over the past 20 months, the full range. And this is where Catholic teaching comes into play. Two pregnancies. One was planned with a surrogate mom. Now, this is a problem. Another one was a surprise pregnancy for his wife, Chelsea. And Freddie Freeman's a big, big family guy. That documentary, the E60 documentary on Freeman, talked about the Freeman Five. That's what he called his family of origin, where he came from. Actually, there's a bit of a Canadian connection here. Freddie actually played for Canada in the 2017 World Baseball Classic. He was born in the States, but his parents are both from Ontario. And Anyways, so, oh, Canada. But he loved his family along with his siblings. He and his parents, they formed the Freeman Five, as he called it growing up. But things weren't always so rosy. Unfortunately, when he was young, when he was 10 years old, his mother passed away. And this was just a heartbreaking time in his life. Here's what he had to say about that.
When my mom passed away, it was kind of just a why factor. Why did, since we are a very Christian family, why did God take her away from us so early? She was only 47 years old. I got pulled out of school many of occasions because I had to start breakdown crying when I was in sixth grade. Everything kind of just reminded me of her, and it was tough. It was definitely a very hard time. I didn't know any kids that had lost another parent, so I just focused on baseball. That's all I did was baseball, and I did it as much as I possibly could just so I could focus on trying to hit a round ball with a round bat instead of my mother. Advice I have for kids that have lost a parent is lean on someone that you trust. I think the biggest advice is talk about it. Don't keep it inside. Don't lock yourself in bedrooms. Don't get on a computer and just read things. Go out there, be a kid. You know, she's up there watching you, he or he. Talk about it, lean on someone. I think that it's going to be hard, but it will get easier.
Yeah, so Freddie had a really, really tough time after the passing of his mom, who he was really close to. He leaned on his dad in the intervening years. They still talk every day. And Freddie's always wanted to have a great family of his own, and that's what he thinks he has now. And he does, of course. He's got a son who's 5 years old. He also has a son named Brandon, who was born of his wife Chelsea on December the 30th. And Maximus, I don't know whether he's a fan of Maximus the Confessor or whether he loves the movie Gladiator. Anyway, so his son Maximus was born of a surrogate mom, a gestational surrogate, on Valentine's Day. And everybody who sees Freddie with his kids knows how much of a family guy he is. In fact, he, like I said, after his COVID illness, he even questioned whether he should continue playing baseball. He's obviously made a lot of money in his career. He's going to be a free agent after this season. The Braves would be nuts not to re-sign him, but that's what Joe Buck was referring to. This might be his last at-bat for the Braves when he hit that home run in Game 6 last night. But here's the thing. This surrogacy thing is a huge problem from a moral perspective. We're going to get into this because Freddie Freeman, who's obviously, he is a Christian. He's not a Catholic Christian. He strives to serve God in his life. He's probably not even aware that this is immoral, surrogate parents, gestational pregnancies. He tries to put his family first. He tries to put God first. But I would bet my bottom dollar he does not even know about the moral quagmire of surrogacy. So what is so wrong about this? What is the big deal about surrogacy? Let's talk about it a little bit. From a moral perspective, what can you say to somebody who's considering doing this? Well, Martin Cook, writing in the Issues in Ethics magazine from Santa Clara University in California, the Markula Center for Applied Ethics, he talks about this. And the fact of the matter is that new technologies, we have developed technologies that can effectively control human reproduction. And this has gotten into the courts, obviously, in the last few years. There have been a lot of legal battles about surrogate mothers, maybe changing their mind, wanting to keep these children. Inheritance rights of frozen embryos. Do they have rights? There was a case about that in Australia. If I was a theologian, the last kind of theologian I'd want to be right now is a moral theologian. It's very, very tough to be a moral theologian. Huge respect for these guys because you've got to constantly be applying timeless truths to technological problems that simply didn't exist decades ago. The goalposts keep moving all the time. But just because we can do certain things now because of technology, that doesn't mean that we should or we ought to do them. And the Vatican has actually issued directives on this about recent developments in reproductive technologies. And in fact, a document that they put out a few years ago was called An Instruction on Respect for Human Life in Its Origin and on the Dignity of Procreation. And what did this document say? Well, it's 40 pages long. I'm going to summarize it for you in about 10 seconds. It opposed every technological intervention into the process of human reproduction. It condemned artificial insemination, embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization or IVF, surrogate motherhood, and this is what's going on in the Freddie Freeman case, experimentation on embryos, amniocentesis. Most of you guys have heard about that. It's a procedure that was used, not so much used anymore, to detect fetal defects. A lot of people use that for the purposes of determining whether or not they're going to have an abortion. And so we believe as Catholics, and this is not even a Catholic thing, this is a scientific thing, that human life begins at the moment of conception. That's true from a scientific point of view. You've got a whole new person genetically that's different from the mother and the father. And so because you've got a human person there, that human person has dignity and rights that are given by God. Now, they're not always recognized by the state, but human life can never be treated as an object to be used or abused. But a person, this is a person here created in the image of God to be loved and cherished. This is something that JP2 was really, really strong on, especially in his book, Love and Responsibility. He said to love someone is the very opposite of what it means to use someone. So what do we do? What's the proper outlook on this? And what's the problem with surrogate parenting? We're going to have much more on this on the Cale Clark Show right after this really quick break. Here's a message from our CEO, Father Rocky.
A dollar a day helps us in a big way. Hi, this is Father Rocky of the Family Rosary Across America. Our numerous dollar a day donors, many of whom have made their gift perpetual, are the backbone of our Relevant Radio mission. Join the Relevant Radio family now in a dollar a day and we'll send you two very special gifts. The first is a book, Through the Year with Fulton Sheen. And it's Bishop Sheen at his best, master storyteller and preacher with a word of encouragement, counsel, and direction for each day of the year. And we'll also send you a handmade one-decade rosary made by the sisters at the Divine Mercy Shrine in Poland. The rosary was placed on the tomb of St. Faustina, and it contains a third-class relic. The Fulton Sheen book and the one-decade rosary are both yours right now when you join the family at Relevant Radio. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to our pledge drive here at Relevant Radio. This is Timory from Trending with Timory, joining Cale Clark now. And this is your opportunity to support Relevant Radio and especially the Cale Clark Show. We'll get back to his programming in just a moment. But right now, the easiest way for you to reach out and support us here at Relevant Radio is to donate online, relevantradio.com. The Relevant Radio app, or if you need to call us, again, it's easiest to donate online. You can see the special gifts we have to give to you as a thank you. But if you need to call us, the number is 1-877-291-0123. And I'm hearing from so many people who love the Cale Clark Show. In fact, Anne has commented saying, I needed something to listen to on my long drive home from work. I stumbled on Cale Clark. She said, I didn't think I would like anything relevant to me on that show. However, by the end of 3 days, I was hooked. Cale, you're pulling people in who, you know, some people think Catholic radio, who's this guy? And then all of a sudden they go, I'm hooked. I'm drawn into the faith and everything you're talking about here on the show. Cale, you are bringing people in who otherwise wouldn't be listening to perhaps conversation about Jesus at all every day by the work you're doing here at Relevant Radio.
Well, first of all, thanks for sharing that, Timory. And that was very sweet of you, Anne, if you're listening today, to say that. I'm glad that you're on the team and you've joined the family here at Relevant Radio. And hey, you know, I always say the show is, give it a couple of days and I think you'll like it. It's an acquired taste, I guess, at some level. But we're so glad that you're on board and so glad that everybody who's listening is supporting us. And you can go to relevantradio.com and you can see that little thermometer graphic that we've got. How much further do we have to go? We're seeing the temperature rise until we get closer and closer to our goal. But today only, we have a great gift for you. In fact, we have two gifts for you, because if you give at a dollar a day level at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or call 1-877-291-0123 for a pledge of just a dollar a day, we're going to send you a very special thank you gift. This is a one-decade Divine Mercy rosary, and you can use it for the rosary. You can also use it for the Divine Mercy chaplet. And this actually is handmade by the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy at the Divine Mercy Shrine in Poland. Handmade, it's beautiful. It's been placed on the altar of the chapel, and it's got a third-class relic of St. Faustina as well. Plus, we'll send you a book by Fulton Sheen, Through the Year with Fulton Sheen. You really can't lose. It's a 2-for-1 special here on Relevant Radio for just $1 a day. Won't you sign up and join the family for our fall pledge drive?
Don't forget to call, or you can go to relevantradio.com, the easiest way, and see those incredible special handmade gifts only for you. Relevantradio.com, Relevant Radio app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're talking about surrogate parenting. What's the problem with that from a moral perspective? World Series champion Freddie Freeman of the Atlanta Braves, first baseman, is a noted family man. He believes in God, but maybe he's never been told about the moral dangers of surrogate parenting because one of his sons, Maximus, was born to a surrogate mom. Here's a clip of him talking about how he thinks his family is complete now.
After Charlie was born, the Freemans were told devastating news.
We were told that Chelsea might not be able to carry kids anymore after our son Charlie was born with the emergency C-section. You know, infertility is some things people don't really talk about. It takes a toll on Chelsea, it took a toll on me. It was definitely one of the toughest situations that I've been faced in my life.
The Freemans decided to find a surrogate, only to get a wonderful surprise.
9 days before embryo transfer, you know, Chelsea, I come home from workout and Chelsea tells me she's pregnant. And I was like, just shocked. Not something we were expecting at all. But it's everything you want and more.
Just like never being content on the diamond, Freddie says this is just the beginning.
We definitely want to have a girl, so I'm definitely, kids are not done in our future. So Sprinter van is going to be coming in my horizon, I think.
All right, so that was Freddie Freeman. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149 is a toll-free line to call. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. The show account is at Cale Clark Show. And speaking of infertility, and the Freemans had experienced infertility for a little while after the birth of their first child, so that's why they went the surrogate route. And then unexpectedly, Freeman's wife got pregnant naturally, and they wound up with two for the price of one, I guess you could say. And they certainly did pay a price because there's a lot of money changing hands in this practice, too. We'll get into that. But infertility is real, and it's a struggle that a lot of people don't talk about so much. A caller named Rita called in with a real miracle moment about this, and producer Lucas posted this on the show account on Twitter. So check that out if you want to get the audio on that. What does the church teach about all this? Well, the church has always said that you can't separate, in terms of the act of marriage between man and spouse, man and wife. There's two purposes here. And I once met the Catholic professor and author Janet Smith. She used to talk about this all the time. She's got a very famous talk called Contraception, Why Not? And she talks about the two purposes of sex. She calls it babies and bonding. The two B's, right? And they have to go together. There's the unitive purpose, which is the emotional closeness, the spiritual unity that results from this, and you know, the warm, fuzzy feelings, I guess you could say. And also there's, of course, the procreative as well. I mean, they are called, folks, our reproductive organs for a reason. And because these functions by nature do belong together, we can't separate them. What God has joined together, human beings must never separate, right? That's a line from marriage. It's also a line from Jesus himself. He said this. So it's the same with the act of marriage. And so in vitro fertilization, surrogate motherhood, it's immoral because it involves sexual acts that are procreative but not unitive, among other things. Also, it sort of divides the two meanings of the sexual act. So in the document from the Vatican that I spoke about before the break, instruction on the respect for human life and its origin and on the dignity of procreation, it talks about that the fact that couples don't have a right to have a child. They obviously want to have children in a lot of cases, but it's not a right. The Vatican document teaches that if couples were to claim such a right, it would make the child an object of ownership. And so a child also has a right to be conceived and carried in the womb, brought into the world, and brought up within marriage. And so, again, human persons should never be treated as objects. They are persons created in the image of God to be loved, not to be used, not for any instrumental purpose. And so This is all kind of in the background of this teaching. And there's a Catholic writer named Jennifer Roback Moore. She wrote a piece about this not too long ago for the Catholic World Report. It was really interesting because she kind of laid out the reasons why everybody, no matter what your religious background might be, no matter what your philosophical background might be, your political affiliation, doesn't matter. Everybody should be opposed to surrogate parenting. Now, obviously, if a child has been conceived in this manner, obviously that we need to care for this life. The Freeman should not see, oh, I'm not going to give her, see a Maximus, you know, you were conceived by surrogacy, we're not going to love you anymore. No, obviously not. We need to love them and care for them, but the practice should really be outlawed. And so here's what Jennifer Roback Moore says. She's a critic of it because she notes that a lot of people don't understand what's really at stake in this issue, because pro-life people think it's actually a good thing in some cases. They'll say, hey, gosh, surrogacy makes babies, so how can that be a bad thing? And a lot of feminists think, well, this allows people to meet their reproductive goals. How can that be a bad thing? Well, it has something to offend everyone, as Roback Morse says. So here's some pro-life reasons to oppose surrogacy. So if you're a pro-life person, as hopefully we all are listening to this program, if you're pro-life, you should be opposing surrogate parenting, because in every surrogate procedure, eggs are fertilized outside of the body, number one. So that's a problem in and of itself, because it's disconnected from an act of love between the spouses. But here's some other consequences of surrogacy. Number one, abortion. Because what often happens is that the doctor implants multiple eggs that are fertilized, hoping some of them will survive. This is a key part of what happens with IVF, or in vitro fertilization. And so sometimes there's even a contract involved with the surrogate mother in which the surrogate is contractually required to do what they call selective reduction. That is, abort some of the babies. Here's another problem. Frozen embryos. I mentioned this before a few minutes ago. Extra, quote-unquote, embryos are often created but not implanted. So what happens to them if they're not implanted in the surrogate mom? Well, they're often frozen indefinitely. They're put on ice, or sometimes they're destroyed. That involves the destruction of human life. It's a full human person at the moment of conception, just needs time to grow. Or what also happens is that sometimes these frozen embryos can be donated for research. And really what that means is medical experimentation. Another thing, eugenics. Eugenics. Sometimes surrogates are contractually required to abort babies that don't meet the specs or the specifications of the commissioning parent. So, for example, if the child developing in the surrogate's body is seen to have some sort of a genetic defect, oh, you must, by contract, abort this child. Not cool. And so there's a eugenic aspect as well. So there's a lot of other reasons to oppose surrogate parenting, a lot of pro-woman reasons and pro-child reasons. We're going to get into this after this really, really quick break here on the Cale Clark Show. It's our pledge drive. We hope that you'll support us. Hope you'll join the family. And we're going to talk about how you can do that in just a moment. Okay, well, we're going to keep going here then. Producer Lucas saying, keep talking for a few seconds. I tell you, it's hard to get used to these clocks. It's a different ball game. Speaking of baseball, when it comes to pitch week, it's our pledge drive week. I only have to talk for 15 more seconds. And we're done. Okay, now we're going to hopefully raise some funds for Relevant Radio. We will be right back. Okay, it's our wonderful fall pledge drive here on Relevant Radio. We want you to join the family. We've got a need. We have to raise $2.7 million. It's a big need, but hey, $1 million doesn't go as far as it used to. We all know this. And we have almost 200 radio stations in operation all across the United States of America. And we also reach people all around the world through the internet and through our Relevant Radio app. And all of this requires resources, and you can help us out with this. We're 100% funded by listeners like you. So if you want to call right now and be a part of it, you can call 1-877-291-2976. 0123. You can also go online to relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app and do it there, because when you donate online, you're going to get a free gift that we're going to send to you. We only give this to people who donate online. You can say, well, that's not fair. Well, we want to show you how easy it is to donate online. You'll be glad you did. We're going to give you a free talk by Father Richard Simon, the host of Father Simon Says. Everybody loves Father Simon. He's so erudite. He's so bright. He's so funny. And he's so deep in his spirituality. And his talk is called Yes, Virginia, There Is a Saint Nicholas. And we're going to get into who the real Saint Nicholas is in this talk. And you're going to love that. And he's far more interesting than the caricature that you might know about. It is said, we talked about it. Now, Timory has some doubts about this, but it is said that he knocked out Arius at the Council of Nicaea.
Oh,
we do know
I hope he did.
He deserved it. There's no question. He was the worst heretic in the history of the church.
Hey, Kayla, I've got an update over here.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
65 people support the Cale Clark Show this hour. We're only 28 minutes into the hour. I am absolutely blown away. We're asking you to support us here at Relevant Radio. In fact, Bob from Minnesota, listening at 1330 a.m., said, thank you for offering the Decade Rosary. My 9-year-old daughter will love the rosary. If I could only be as holy as her, she will love it as a Christmas gift. Kale, we're talking about that rosary, that special thank you gift we have. If you give $1 a day, $365 for the year, not only will we send you a special book by Venerable Fulton Sheen, but also this rosary coming from Poland that they're one of a kind, practically. You
they
can't
really
get them. You have to go to the middle of nowhere, drive a couple hours. You can't call these nuns. They're so special.
They don't
so
have
if you
email.
Want this special gift, please contact us now, relevantradio.com, Relevant Radio app. Donate now, 1-877-291-0123.
Powered by you.
By you.
Listener supported.
Welcome back to our Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149 if you want to call in. By the way, little known fact, that's producer Lucas playing the bass on that track. He's more talented than you know. You can also follow me on Twitter, tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Show account is at Cale Clark Show. I forgot to give out the email before. There's so much going on right now. Kale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. We're talking about surrogate motherhood, IVF, why that's a bad idea. Freddie Freeman, who loves God, he's trying to serve God, probably has no idea that what he did was not morally cool when his child was born through a surrogate mother. The National League MVP one time, the World Series champion last night with the Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman, we're talking about him, talking about surrogacy. A lot of people don't know why the church opposes it. Well, Jennifer Roback Moore, she talked about it. We went through this. If you missed it, you can check the podcast later. Some pro-life reasons to oppose surrogacy. She also gives some pro-woman reasons to oppose it. Number one, broken bonds. Because let's face it, if a child is growing in your body, if you're the surrogate mother, you do have a bond to that child. And during the pregnancy, this is obviously crucially important to the commissioning parents, as they're called. They want this child to grow, be very healthy in the womb. But the bond between the surrogate mother and the child is often completely irrelevant afterwards. And very often by law, by the contract, they're not allowed to ever see these children again. It's also a way of objectifying women. So it's not pro-woman at all. The gestational mother, the surrogate mother, is simply used for her womb. It's kind of a rent-a-womb scenario. And then she's set aside. And the last thing is that it actually results in fewer rights for this mother as compared with adoption. So think about this. If the surrogate mother grows attached to the child in her womb, and why wouldn't she? Sometimes what happens in these cases is that there are concerns that develop about the commissioning parents. The surrogate mother might say, hang on, these people are, you know, maybe they're criminals, maybe there's something going on. There's been a lot of cases where the surrogate mother does not want to release the child into their care. Well, that's too bad. They really don't have a choice in the matter legally. It's a little bit different when it comes to adoption, because if a mother wants to put their child up for adoption, that mother can always change her mind after the baby is born, the baby's placed in her arms. She says, no, I don't want to let this child go. That's never the case with surrogate moms. They can never keep that child. There's also pro-child reasons that you might not be aware of, that we should be in opposition to this. It's psychologically risky for babies, according to Jennifer Roback Morse. Infants, obviously, as we know, they can be very attached to their moms in the womb. And will that transfer over when the child is passed over to the commissioning mother? We don't really know. It's also a little bit medically risky because it's known that when babies are conceived through in vitro, they are at risk for some medical conditions, premature birth, low birth weight, cerebral palsy, other problems. And obviously with surrogate parenting, you need to use something like IVF to even make that happen. And there's also a risk of rejection. This is the nightmare scenario for sure. The commissioning parents who hire the surrogate mom, sometimes when they find out that the child does have, for example, a birth defect, they will abandon this child. They will leave the child with the surrogate mother. And then there's kind of a legal limbo, you know, legally, whose child is this? That's a nightmare scenario. It's obviously economically exploitative as well. In a lot of countries, there's actually a video called, which she links to in her article, called Outsourcing Embryos. There's a huge surrogacy industry in some countries, including India, in which the ultra-rich hire surrogates to basically, you know, sire their children. And a lot of times, very poor women in these countries are exploited for the benefit of the rich. This introduces, obviously, the profit motive into baby making, which should obviously be about love in marriage between a man and a woman. It's a $30 billion business worldwide, surrogacy. Wow. I wasn't aware of that. It's actually illegal in some countries. France, Finland, they've actually banned the practice. It is not banned in the United States. Perhaps it should be. And obviously, this is something that's kind of mind-blowing to think about. A surrogate parenting situation could involve as many as five separate individuals: the egg donor, the sperm donor, the gestational carrier, the surrogate mom herself, and one or more quote-unquote commissioning parents. There's a lot of people involved here, and the law has to decide which of these adults shall be the legal parents of the child. So that kind of drags the law into the reproductive realm, which should be private within a family. At any rate, there's a lot of things here, but there's a market in human beings that's been created, and people should never be allowed to purchase children, or anybody else for that matter. That is not a very good policy for any country to adopt or to allow to continue on. And I know that very often on her programs, Timory has talked a lot about NAPRO technology as an alternative, natural procreative technology, for people who are suffering from infertility. A lot of Catholics aren't aware of this, but it is very scientific. It really does help. And very often people who are struggling with infertility, they may have an underlying medical condition that's quite serious that they don't even know about. And the infertility is merely a symptom of that. So no matter what your political or religious views might be, surrogacy, it should be pretty clear by now, is never an answer. And it's not a morally licit procedure. So anyways, the children that result from this, obviously they're still loved by God, persons that hold the image of God, and we need to care for them and love them just as we would for any other child who's conceived from an immoral situation, whether an adulterous relationship or something like that. So at any rate, I just thought I'd raise it because a lot of people aren't aware of that. And I'm sure Freddie Freeman isn't either. I highly doubt he's been talked to about this, but if you're listening, Freddie, please don't do it again. Anyways, you're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. How much time we got there, Lucas? Okay, well, let's take a quick break right now because I've got some really, really wonderful things to share with you about St. Faustina. We were giving away this incredible resource, this one-decade rosary, which you can use to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Well, our own John Hanready has filled us in on some of the details of her life, that you might not be aware of, and that might help you want to get one, okay? So we'll be right back after this.
Lives changed in your neighborhood and across the country. Here's another miracle moment on Relevant Radio.
This is Angela from Albuquerque. She says, "Hello, Patrick. I absolutely love your show, and I need you to know how instrumental you and Relevant Radio have been in deepening my Catholic faith and growing closer to God. I thank you dearly for that." And that's Angela from Albuquerque. Thank you, Angela. Let's go to Peter in Boston. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a long-time listener and first-time caller.
Okay.
And firstly, I would like to thank you for your show and the Relevant Radio. You guys give me so much hope, you know, to get up every single morning and keep trying to be a better Catholic.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Make a tax-deductible donation now to support our mission at RelevantRadio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
That is the summary of what you do. You help you when you support us here at Relevant Radio, and you help so many other people. We're able to buy additional stations. We're able to grow here at Relevant Radio, have the people that you want to hear on every day. And I'm asking you to support us by joining the family at Relevant Radio. The end of the year is coming. I know there are a lot of people, perhaps you're already looking at starting your Christmas shopping. I know we're looking at it here. Well, one of the things you can do as you're pondering Christmas and the gift of Christ coming to us in the celebration of Christmas and in the Eucharist every time we receive Him is to give, and to give to Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app are the easiest ways to give. In fact, you can see the gifts we have for you, a really special handmade rosary from Poland from nuns who you have to go to the middle of nowhere, drive for hours to ask them to make these rosaries for us. So, Kale, there are very few left, and I want you, if you want one, they're only available today and perhaps only a couple more minutes. So you receive that as well as the Venerable Fulton Sheen book. All you have to do is donate now, relevantradio.com, Relevant Radio app, for $1 a day, $365. And Kale, people are calling because they want to support Relevant Radio, but especially the Kale Clark Show. Marianne said, hi, Kale. This is excellent explanation of the rosary that you gave. You also have the perfect, mellow, soothing voice.
Oh.
I enjoyed this and have forwarded it to family members.
Well, thank you. And if you'd like me to record a special greeting for your loved ones with my mellow voice, you can simply reach out and make a donation to Relevant Radio right now at 1-877-291. This will be an extra bonus that you'll receive along with that handmade rosary by the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. Yeah, once these things are gone, folks, they are gone. That's a dollar a day level of giving. You'll get that, plus you'll get more. You will get, of course, the wonderful book by Fulton Sheen, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who really is in many ways the forerunner of Relevant Radio. He was on television way before anybody ever thought about going mass media with the culture and reaching Christ through the media. Reaching the culture for Christ, I'm so confused today. Reaching the culture for Christ through the media. That's what he did. It's a book, 365 days with I was going to say Martin Sheen, but it's Fulton Sheen. They are related. And you can get it, whatever it is, you can get it by going to relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Give online right now. Get that handmade rosary for the chaplet, 877-291-0123. Join the family today.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Kale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. If you want to call in, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Hey, speaking of St. Faustina, our own John Hanready, who does such incredible writing for our Relevant Radio blog. If you have the app, and I encourage you to download it, if you go to the website often, you'll see his byline there. He's really one of the great talents that we have. And John, you can pay me later. I'm only kidding. But no, he's really good. He's really good. He's written a lot of great pieces about segments that we've done on this program. I really enjoy reading his writing. He's quite gifted. And he wrote about St. Faustina and the Divine Mercy devotion. And for those of you who don't know too much about St. Faustina's background, you might find this interesting. She actually was not a great scholar. She wasn't a martyr like a lot of great saints have been. She was just a simple nun. And she had no more than 3 years of basic education. Of course, I'm talking about St. Faustina Kowalska. And what made her exceptional, according to John Hanready, was her intense desire and drive to become a great saint. She really wanted to be a saint. And a lot of saints throughout history have said that. Jose Maria, the founder of Opus Dei, he said that a lot. He used to say, I will be a saint. And people, and it's easy to look at somebody saying that and think, oh, this person's being egotistical. Who do they think they are? But he said, I will be a saint. I will be a saint because Jesus can make me a saint. It's not me. Very often I get in the way, but Jesus can do it. And we all can and should approach sanctity. And this is what Saint Faustina did ever since the time she was a child. Her name, her birth name was Helena Kowalska. She was born in 1905 in Poland. Her family was very poor. She worked as a servant until she was about 20 years old. And then she got a vision of Jesus. And Jesus asked her, how long are you going to procrastinate on your calling? That's a great question. And a lot of us probably have had that nagging question. Maybe we haven't seen visions of Christ or heard a voice, an audible voice in our ear, but we've got that, maybe that still small voice that Scripture talks about asking us, how long are you going to procrastinate with your calling? Whether you're called to the religious life, as St. Faustina was, or whether you're called to the priesthood or called to marriage, whatever that may be, your vocation, that's kind of your pathway, your vehicle to becoming a saint. It's how you're going to do it. And obviously, Jesus was calling her to the religious life, and she was putting it off, putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. And she realized, I can't do this anymore. She went to a church, and she got instructions about how to enter the convent. She actually was denied. A lot of the convents that she applied to denied her applications, but she was undeterred. She finally got accepted, and she knew that God would eventually lead her to the place where she was supposed to be. And so in 1931, she got another visit from our Lord. She was kind of resting, as John Hanratty explains. She was resting in her cell, and that's what they're called, the rooms that the nuns stay in. It's not like prison. They're called cells. While she was resting in her cell, Jesus appeared to her in a white robe with red and white light emitting from his heart. And of course, you know this very well with the Divine Mercy image. And Jesus told her, paint an image according to the pattern that you see with this signature. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus told her, I desire that this image be venerated first in your chapel and then throughout the world. I promise that the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. That's a pretty good deal, if you ask me. Jesus said, the soul that will venerate this image will not perish. So this was the first time that the image of Divine Mercy was seen. And so Sister Faustina told other nuns about this and asked them to paint it. And they said, absolutely not. You're crazy. I'm not going to do this. This went on for 3 years. And then finally, the Polish painter Eugenius, and he's a real genius, Kazimierowski, he painted it. He painted it. So that was the first image that was painted of the Divine Mercy. And eventually Faustina met a Blessed Father Michael Sopocko, who was her confessor, and she told him about the vision she was getting from the Lord, and he realized that she wasn't crazy, she wasn't nuts, Jesus was actually speaking to her. And she finally told him about Divine Mercy. And initially he hesitated, but Father Michael eventually supported her and gave the first sermon on Divine Mercy in 1935. Jesus continued to appear to Sister Faustina, guided her through the establishment of Divine Mercy, and she was instructed to begin an order of Divine Mercy, but her current religious order reminded her about her vows. Jesus came back to her, and he told her, my daughter, do whatever is within your power to spread devotion to my Divine Mercy. I will make up for what you lack. And I think that's true in all the missions that God calls us to in life, that he will make up for what we lack. We can only go so far in our human strength, and there's a lot of opposition from all quarters, but Jesus will provide what is lacking. We simply have to trust more and more. So over the next few years, Sister Faustina and Father Michael, they kept working. They started to make brochures, holy cards. They created the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. But it was during this time that Faustina really became ill with tuberculosis. And as she got closer to the end of her earthly life, her visions got more and more intense the closer she got to heaven. And when Father Michael visited her shortly before she passed away, he saw her in a state of ecstasy, and she predicted St. Faustina actually predicted that there's going to be a great war 1 year after her death. And that's exactly what happened. In 1939, World War II began, and she proved to be a prophet, a prophetess. And so at that point, the Divine Mercy image was released to the public in Poland by a bishop, and instantly millions flocked to it. And as John Hanratty writes, it catalyzed the spread. It was catalyzing the spread of this message all across the world. And that's why he's such a great writer. He uses words like catalyzing. Anyways, that's really her legacy, Divine Mercy. And here's a quote from St. Faustina's diary. It's great spiritual reading, the diary of Divine Mercy in My Soul by Sister Faustina. This is one of the things that Jesus said to her. In the Old Covenant, I sent prophets wielding thunderbolts to my people. Today, I am sending you with my mercy to the people of the whole world. I do not want to punish aching mankind, but I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. That's from entry 1588 of the diary. Now, the message of mercy is so powerful because of the flip side of that, which is obviously, you know, the judgment of God against unrepentant sinners. And so really we've got a choice. We either let Jesus pay the penalty for our sins, which he paid on the cross, or we got to pay it ourselves. And I know which one I'd rather pick. And that's where the mercy comes in. This is God's greatest attribute. It's not the fact that he's all knowing. That's wonderful, of course. His greatest attribute is not that he's all powerful, but really it's that he's all merciful, that he has every right to bring those thunderbolts, but he is holding back because of his mercy. He wants as many people to be saved as possible. So this is really what Divine Mercy is all about. And this is why we're so proud during this Pledge Drive week to offer this handmade one-decade Divine Mercy rosary, which is made by, of course, the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy at the Divine Mercy Shrine in Krakow, Poland. And again, these nuns, as we talked about earlier, you cannot get a hold of these nuns. They don't have email. They don't have cell phones. We got to actually hunt them down almost to get these made, and they're almost running out. So you can get one for a pledge of just $1 a day here for this Join the Family Pledge Drive week on Relevant Radio. And we're so happy to be able to share this with you. We're so thankful for your support here on the Cale Clark Show and for all the other programs that we offer here on Relevant Radio. I'll be back in just a moment. But I'm going to be joined very, very shortly by Timory, and we're going to be sharing one last chance for you this hour. This is really your last opportunity this hour to really have that vote of confidence for this program. If it's helped you in your spiritual life, if you've enjoyed it, consider joining the family and actually contributing financially. I know it's difficult for a lot of people. It's been a tough year financially because of COVID and economic setbacks for people. So for a lot of you, I realize it is very much sacrificial giving. And that's why we want to really extend these special gifts to you at this $1 a day amount. And we're going to be talking more about that in just a couple moments here with Timory. I'm Cale Clark. I'm so glad that you've joined me today. Hang on. I'm going to tell a special funny story about our friend Patrick Madrid, if you'll just hang with me for a couple moments. And it's kind of related to the pledge drive. So I'll talk about that in a minute. This is Cale. I'll be joined by Timory in just a moment.
Timory here on the Cale Clark Show. It's so great to be here and to say thank you. Thank you for supporting us. During our pledge drive here at Relevant Radio, we depend on you to make these programs possible for you to listen to, as well as for others to listen. So thank you truly for everything you're doing to support us here. Someone, Kathleen in Bakersfield, California, said, Relevant Radio is the best thing that came into my life. Relevant Radio presents beauty and knowledge to my seeking heart while accompanying me on my faith journey. I'd be lost without my prayer time with Relevant Radio. Cale, these are the things people are saying about programs such as yours, and that's why we need people to support us here. Right now, we have about 80 people, approaching 90 quickly here, who have supported us during this hour, and
Thank you so much.
More minutes to support Cale's program here on Relevant Radio.
All right, do you want me to tell my Patrick Madrid story?
Yes,
All right, I want to know. So the first time that I met Patrick Madrid in person, It was about 5 years ago. He spoke at one of my conferences up here in Toronto. And he drove up from his home in Ohio. And one of the things that Patrick really fell in love with when he was in Canada was Tim Hortons coffee. This is kind of an institution. It's kind of like what the In-N-Out burger is to California, Tim Hortons coffee is to Canada. And so he discovered, when he was driving home, he said, "Cale, I hit, I think, just about every Tim Hortons on my way to the border." And everybody, when they
what
go to Tim...
What did he get is well, the question.
I'll tell you what he gets. So everybody, okay, when they go to Tim Hortons, they will often order what's called a double-double. So two cream, two sugar. That's kind of the famous hit that everybody gets. So I don't know how many double-doubles he had, but I got to thinking, you know, that's really what we're offering today on Relevant Radio. We're offering a double-double just for the price of a Tim Hortons double-double, about a dollar a day. And Patrick had more than one that day, I know. For a dollar a day, if you donate to Relevant Radio, you're going to get two incredible gifts. It's a double-double. You're going to get this wonderful book by Archbishop Fulton Sheen. It's an incredible year with Fulton Sheen, where he'll be sharing his incredible wisdom with you, inspirational quotes. It's a book that you can use every day throughout the year. We're going to be giving that to you for free for your $1 a day commitment. Plus, we're going to be giving you, of course, this handmade rosary by the Sisters of Divine Mercy, the Divine Mercy One Decade Rosary, which you can use, obviously, for the chaplet as well. So you really can't lose. And if you donate online, well, it's a triple play. It's really a triple-triple, because you're going to get that talk from Father Richard Simon called Yes, Virginia, There Is a St. Nicholas. You're not going to want to miss that with the Advent season coming up. You're going to want to arm yourself with some great truth about the real St. Nicholas. And you can't get these giveaways any other day this week. It's just for Wednesday. It's just for today. We have a limited amount, and once they're gone, that is it. So go right now to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or call 1-877-291-0123.
And Cale, you can actually see the gifts we have to give to you. There are other things. Perhaps you can give a little bit more. Maybe you can give a little bit less. There are things for you that we'd like to say thank you. Thank you for supporting us here at Relevant Radio. Not just thank you, but you invest in us. We want to invest in you, not just provide you programming, but those sacramentals to have in your life throughout the day to inspire you to pray, to not just walk the walk or not just talk the talk, but for everything to be kind, combined with faith in action, with prayer, you know, those moments of silent prayer, those moments of action and volunteering. And you're combining all of that by donating to Relevant Radio and receiving a gift that inspires you to pray more and ponder the great mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. So call right now, 1-877-291-0123, or go to relevantradio.com, go to the app. It's easy, it is secure. And you'll be able to, when you go online, when you go to the app, you'll see our progress. How quickly are we getting to our goal? We want to make it. We've given away, by the way, I've just found out that we've given away almost 1,700 of these one-decade rosaries, these Divine Mercy rosaries, to our listeners today. So I'm getting concerned that we're not going to be able to get one into your hands unless you call in the next couple minutes. So please call in. I hope that we'll have enough to get you through, but don't delay.
Ooh.
Join
yes,
the family today. Do it. 1-877-291-0123, or go to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. And I want to thank you.
Given
thank
100
you for
away. Yes, thank you. Cale, we've almost given 100 away now. Maybe that's you. Maybe
I'm
that's
excited
you.
About all the prayers that are going to be prayed with these rosaries. Join the family today, relevantradio.com.